Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey everybody, Scott Patterson, I am all in podcast, iHeartRadio, 111 Productions, and I am here with the ball club, Riley Palousis, Daniel Romo, Amy Sugarman, the one and only.
And, Wait, I watched this. What's the title of this episode? This
is Haunted Leg. Whatever in the heck that means.
I watched the whole episode, and then when you guys just said the title, I was like, why is that the title?
Haunted Leg. Is that in reference to Christopher in some way? Because he did appear as a ghost in that scene and haunted that scene and then disappeared on his motorcycle.
Don't jump ahead.
That's right. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Haunted leg.
We're going in order.
Like L-E-G.
Yeah, that's what it says. Haunted leg.
What?
Yeah. Not haunted egg. Not haunted leg. It's haunted leg. I'm reading that. Season 3, episode 2, air date October 1, 2002. Riley, take us away with your synopsis.
So it's still awkward between Emily and Lorelai until she intervenes when Christopher shows up to Friday night dinner unexpectedly. Paris and Rory are sworn into the student body at Chilton, but Paris's overbearing ruling isn't sitting well with everyone else. Meanwhile, Rory has an awkward run-in with Jess at the supermarket.
Yes, that was okay.
We're gonna go in order.
I understand
that.
Sleep. I got a lot of sleep in the last 2 days. So you're gonna have a lot to deal with here.
We're like, what have you done the last couple of days?
No, actually, it's the opposite is true. I've had any sleep, so I'm energized, and I've been on a writing jag. I've been writing songs, so I haven't gotten any sleep. Yeah, I don't know if that's good necessarily, but
So better than bad.
You have some news, Amy, about some fan reactions. Go ahead.
Well, yes. Okay. So they like us going in order. That definitely has gotten a top-notch review, which will do, but it's taking everything in my body to not jump to the last scene because it's like what I want to talk about so much, but we'll go in order.
No.
Do you want to give us,
we're not gonna cry.
Give us your overall on the episode.
Overall?
What?
Yeah, didn't Listen, let me qualify this for you lovely fans. I love to argue and I love to nitpick. I just love it. I love to analyze. I love to break it down. That's why I'm having so much fun on this podcast. I have like-minded people here with me. I love these episodes. I love every single one of them. I love the show. I really enjoy watching them. I think they've done people a world of good. It's a very positive force in my life, and it's a very positive force in everybody else's lives that is in this very sizable global fan base. And I respect that. And I respect the show and the creators and the actors, and I love them all. And, you know, I feel like I've been blessed with this gift of this show. And however, I am analytical, and I do like things to make sense. And I'm bit of a snob when it comes to my craft and structure and logic and all that kind of thing. So that's all I'm doing. So, you know, don't kill the messenger here, please. Thank you very much.
We won't. It's what makes okay.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying the fans, you know, because
they won't, but I totally disagree with you. Couldn't disagree more. So I guess we'll just get into it.
You disagree that I love the show? And
I disagree with the episode? This episode that you gave it kind of a thumbs to the side, thumbs down, because I give it a double thumbs up.
Really? Double? Oh, we're going to be button heads today. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I guess, right. I mean, we'll see.
Let the games begin. Gentlemen, start your engines. All right.
We open up.
And ladies.
With the awkward Friday night dinner.
Yeah.
Very awkward, where Rory's trying to keep the peace, and there's a mouse. So the discussion of the mouse.
Got a problem with it right off the bat. What's she doing sitting there in her house in the first place? They just had this, she just walked out on her the week before. They had this massive abusive blowout where she, have you ever seen Lorelai at a loss for words? Have you ever seen Lorelai not defend herself in a very passionate and very logical way, in a righteous way? I haven't. That's the first time I've seen her tuck tail and just walk out, because the abuse was so overwhelming that she just had to walk out, because she just, in her brain, it was like, these people are crazy and abusive and I am out of here. And that's like a year-long thing. That's like you make a phone call and you go, you know what? Screw you. Take your money back. You want to pull her out of private school, go right ahead. You be that person. But we're not coming there until you apologize to me. Where the hell was that scene? Where's that Lorelai?
Well, yeah. Okay. So that's an interesting point. I look at it like moms and daughters just kind of fight. Like, and it's just kind of how it goes. But
that wasn't a mom-daughter fight. That was both of her parents unloading on her.
I agree. But at the same time, in families, you kind of just show up the next Friday and do it all again.
Not my family. Not how I grew up.
Oh my God. We have like huge blowouts.
And then everyone's
just like, pass the turkey. Like, what about you guys?
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
I agree. We passed the turkey too. But this fight in particular, it would have been 1 week of not passing turkey, and then the week after we would have talked.
Right.
And do you guys feel like, okay, you just move forward and you show up for Friday night dinner, or does everything need to be discussed? That's the thing that the Gilmores seem to not do. Like, they never resolve it because they don't really talk about it. Obviously, we have a big moment at the end, but
That's what I thought it needed. I was hoping that the episode was going to begin with the phone call from Lorelai saying, "Mom, we need to sit down and talk and get this, you know, stuff right." Because I'm not going to sit through another tongue lashing like that. You are not going to abuse me anymore. And I will take Rory out of Chilton, or you, if you want to take Rory out of Chilton, that's fine. I'm reneging on the deal. I didn't sign up for this. I agreed to this. We come Friday nights, but I didn't agree to take your, you know what.
That's not very Gilmore-y.
It's very Lorelai. It's very Lorelai.
Is it though? Because think about it. She didn't just immediately go resolve things with Luke. It just.
But that's Luke. That's Luke. It's a love. It's a sort of a affairs of the heart.
Parents.
It's not an affair. She's not in a real, she's not in a, an intimate relationship with her parents, for God's sake.
Right. But she, Lorelai's coping mechanism, mm-hmm. even though you see her as this feisty, you know, strong woman that takes mm-hmm. no mm-hmm. leap, she doesn't do that. She reacted to the Gilmores the same way she dealt with the fight with you, never directly addressing it, Mimi.
No. Sorry. Yeah. That's not in her character to back down from Emily or Richard.
Well,
she should have given them what for that level of abuse. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel. That's just how I feel. I thought it was, I thought it was inconsistent of her character not to go back at Emily and Richard and say, listen, you know,
yeah, to me, I feel like
you want to pull Rory out of it. I'm not coming. We're not coming to as a punishment to this, to teach you guys a lesson. You can't talk to me that way. And we're punishing you for a month. We will not come.
I think they've been doing that to her there her whole life. So then she would just have done that 100 years ago. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's why they have this drama, because they've been behaving like this for 30 years. So she's not going to start now.
We're not going to agree on this. No, it's just my opinion. You have your opinion. I don't want to try to... I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm just saying I found it a bit odd that the episode Haunted Leg, which we still haven't figured out what in the heck that means, started off with Lorelai and Rory in the living room, in Emily's living room, and not talking to each other. I just found that absurd. And
so what I think is interesting, though, is you feel the tension and Rory's mm-hmm. trying to make it good. But then Shauna Christie shot her husband and Emily's like, what? And then they kind of gossip about that. And she says, at least she had a husband to kill.
Right. Great scene. Funny. All that. But I didn't buy the scene. I didn't buy that the scene should even have existed. It was too soon. Anyway, whoever's controlling this this board, can you you just reduced this the size of the of what I'm seeing here. Can you widen it out again? Because now everybody's really tiny, and that's it's so awkward, weird. Yeah.
Well, okay. So then now we're at the diner, and Lorelai has a cold. Which was that triggering to anybody that she went to the diner with a cold?
Triggering in what way? That you got a cold too?
No, like you don't go to diners with colds anymore.
You stay at home.
Stay.
Yeah, well.
And then I noticed Scott, Luke was carrying a lot of plates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. It's Luke. That's what I do. I carry a lot of plates.
Okay, so then the significance of this scene, and you guys break it down.
Mm-hmm.
One is obviously Luke is always looking out for Lorelai and thinks she should eat better. And then we see Jess reading in the background and Shane comes in and, oh boy, make out, make out, make out. And then Dean walks up.
It's so. Just, it was all just, so, I don't know. It's just for me, here I am. I'm going to nitpick at this scene. It's like, I don't know. I just didn't buy it. I mean, it's just like right in Rory's face.
Felt fake. Can you think?
It did. It just didn't feel, it felt staged almost, you know? And like, here comes Jessica into the diner. They make out right in front of Rory. I mean, it's like, you know, they're making this kid out to be some kind of jerk. And
although
they're making her, it's just, I don't like it. I don't like how it's staged. I don't like how it's set up.
I don't totally think you're wrong, but at the same time, without that scene, the scene at Dosey's Market wouldn't have been so true. So for me, everything leads to the next thing.
I'm sorry. Jess is just becoming obnoxious. They're ruining his character and I don't like it.
Oh, I disagree.
I think he's getting really obnoxious and I agree. And we're going to jump ahead, but he did have a point.
Yep.
But, you know, narcissists always have really good points, don't they?
No,
they always make great points.
Yeah, like it's, we gotta, it's a, Yeah, back up our boy Jess
flag
here.
Flag on the play. Go, Danielle.
I agree. Amy, I wish you guys can, the people that are listening to this, I wish you could see our faces because we both were in just utter shock. But but no, I don't think Jess is a narcissist at all. I think I'm really grossed out by that scene where they were making out again.
That's where people were eating their food.
Yeah, gross, man. If I was at that diner and the guy that was working behind the counter and a girl walks in and makes out with him, I would be like, I'm not eating here anymore. I'm out.
You know what Luke's doing right now? He's making a new sign with two tongues, like with a crossover. No, no tongues. No tonguing. No French kissing. It's at the counter. People are trying to eat.
Danielle, keep going. I want
take
you to
your take hormones it. Outside.
No,
right?
Because I'm Team Jess, and I think Rory's wrong.
I'm Team Jess too. I'm also Team Dean. I want to give him a hug right now.
For God's sake.
I'm just not Team Rory in this moment. Sorry, guys, I'm not.
No, I mean I love Rory, and I get that she loves Jess, but she needs to tell Jess she wants to be with Jess. He was so right. We can't jump ahead. But
yeah,
this scene was important because the market scene, everything's like a crescendo to me. So the whole episode happens for the scene in the market and the scene at the Gilmore's at the end. And we need all the other stuff.
All right, let's get back to the structure. Let's just go back to the order. Let's not jump ahead. My bad.
Okay. No. We have, you can't go just bit by bit because sometimes the end affects us. Also, Lorelai loves a necklace. I'm just going to interject with that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Now we're at the inn.
Right.
Did anyone notice it was a new shot of the inn? I'm not sure we'd ever seen that angle before, which made sense to me. We're in a new season.
The inn looked good with the...
Yeah.
Is this Yannick in the fireplace?
Yeah, and we saw that exterior shot. So we saw the exterior.
Yeah, it was good. The inn looked good.
They got the bit with the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes Kirk. Talk about it.
You know, classic... scene, I'd say one of the top, I don't know, 25 classic scenes in that show all time is Kirk asking Lorelai out on a date. I mean, it was hysterical. I mean, just to lend
the awkwardness just is so good.
You know, the absurdity of these characters and these situations just, you know, makes for belly laughs. I mean, it was really funny. If Yannick doesn't make you laugh, then there's always another supporting character that's going to come in and hit it out of the park. Yannick was still very funny, and then Sean came in and delivered.
And just when you're like, Kirk is so awkward and dorky, and I can't believe he's doing this, he says, "You're the prettiest girl I've ever seen outside of a filthy magazine." And you're just like, oh my God, she should just go.
Yeah, I mean, on that note, sure, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like he's so, I almost thought she was going to just pity date him, but then obviously I thought it was the way she handled that, which we'll get to, was really good.
Maybe it could have been a dream sequence.
Oh,
like in black and white, like a film by Kirk, right? Why didn't he do a film by Kirk and, like, you know, have a Lorelai character in there? Like his love letter to her.
It could be, I want to date your mom. I love your mom.
Oh my God.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. And vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie, ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
All right, so we go into the Gilmore house and Lorelai's in the chair while Rory sleeps because it's her last first day of high school.
Right.
You know, I thought Rory had an excellent pink robe. And then Lorelai then tells Rory, Kirk asked me out, which to me, the dialogue was so hilarious in that scene. As long as he loves you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, her daughter being appropriately sarcastic. It was very funny.
And then she says, we're going to have to move. And then did anyone notice they were eating a ginormous bowl of Rice Krispies with marshmallows?
Mm-hmm.
My God.
And a lot of milk. She kept pouring that milk in there. I was like, stop.
A very inappropriate breakfast for a teenager, but.
Yeah. And they were sharing the bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. That's like, you know. Eating each other's backwash, basically. It's like, wow. Like, what are you doing?
I don't mind sharing food, but you know, some people like don't share food. Like Joey doesn't share food on Friends. Joey doesn't share food.
That's actually a sign of intelligence.
To not share food? Or
yeah,
share
I don't
food.
Know what I'm talking about. No, I have no idea.
And then we find out that the swearing
Einstein
ceremony,
never shared his food with anybody, his parents, and they were hungry.
You're making that up.
Yeah, I am. Sorry.
Then we find out about the ceremony and that grandma's coming.
Yes, the ceremony. Okay. How do we find out about the ceremony?
Rory reveals it. Yeah, Rory right. says, so, by the way.
Okay. So here's the thing, okay? And maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but the ceremony, the student body, the council, whatever, giving their speeches and kicking off the new year. I thought, here's another logic flaw for me. Wasn't Paris all like noodly about joining the Puffs?
Yes.
Okay, so what in the hell is she doing in that meeting bulldozing the head of the Puffs over a hemline?
Okay, well, you're jumping ahead.
How far ahead am I jumping?
You're like three scenes ahead.
Damn it. Just hit me over the head, okay?
I know, it's hard. We're going to have to get used to
it. It is hard.
So first focus on the swearing in ceremony. Paris gives that like ridiculous speech. Lorelai got there at 3:01, but Rory had lied to her and said, you know, she's, get here at 3, but it starts
chronically
at
late. So you got to lie to her.
Rory gives her speech. But the other important part was that Emily and Lorelai were sitting together and the purse bit, put the purse on the chair. The purse goes off. Purse goes on. Would have been nice if you put your purse down. And, it was a long, they talked about how the ceremony was a bit long. And then they're waiting in the hallway for Rory, and Emily, you know, Rory comes out to see them, and Lorelai blows off Emily. So she leaves while Lorelai waits for Rory. And it was kind of like, mm-hmm. oof. Mm-hmm. And then Emily says, let's have lunch.
Right.
So obviously, there's your lunch that you had been wanting, Scott. You'd been wanting them to make a plan to sit down and talk about this. So I assumed that's what the lunch was.
But it gets worse. Where does she want to have lunch at?
The diner.
Luke's diner.
Like, all what? Right.
Look, all great stuff. All those scenes are nice little runways to get to, you know, our destinations.
Yes.
All funny stuff, all great stuff. The lunch. So here's the question. Is it Emily's need to manipulate and be the puppet master over Lorelai's life? Was Lorelai justified in being so insulted by that? Was she? Was she justified? That's the question. Because,
I think,
you know, the meddling that is going on behind her back with Christopher, and it's like Emily does not respect.
Calling Christopher was too much.
Yeah.
Emily calling Christopher is rough. Although, let's not forget that Lorelai has done the same thing with Dean. She has had conversations with Dean about Rory, which I, at the time, please remember, thought it was,
I just got mind blown.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
What? You're right. What mind blown?
Because Danielle forgot that everybody's all mad at Emily.
Dean's just 16 years old. Yeah, you're going to have a talk with him.
No, I'm not talking
Johnny
about the talk.
Chicago, Johnny Hormone over there.
I'm not,
you know,
talking
it's
about
like,
that, the talk. It was when Lorelai gave love advice to Dean.
Oh, you didn't specify that. Okay.
Sorry. So everyone's all mad that Emily's meddling, but Lorelai meddles. They're the same person.
I wouldn't consider Lorelai giving Dean love advice meddling.
But why is it meddling?
That's Lorelai loving a kid who needs some guidance, continues to get hurt, and she's showing empathy.
Fine.
She's being
why
a good person.
Why isn't that Emily? Okay, fine. So then why is Emily calling Christopher not the same thing, showing love for Christopher and her daughter and wanting them to be together and work this out?
Because Lorelai's not a 16-year-old kid. She's a grown woman, and she wants her respect, and she wants her boundaries respected. And those, she keeps violating her boundaries. She keeps crossing Lorelai's boundaries and getting involved in her life at a level that doesn't make her feel comfortable. And I don't blame her for popping at her mother. Her mother's a pain in the ass. You know, it's like, she just is. She's an abusive pain in everybody's ass. And I'm sorry to be so blunt about it, but
no, it's fine.
I'm tired of this woman just sort of bulldozing this girl who's trying to live a quality life away from these abusive people. And she's collected a community of wonderful Stars Hollow people. She's got a nice little situation. She's managing her life beautifully. Her daughter's doing beautifully. She's made a deal with the devil, right? She's to get her daughter's school paid for, but they should have done that anyway. They shouldn't put conditions on it. Why do they put conditions on it? I'll give you the money, but you have to come over once a week. What is that?
I disagree with you that Emily is wrong, but I just want 100%. To be consistent that Lorelai shouldn't have done it with Dean. You can't be mad at someone for doing what you did.
You're comparing apples and oranges. It's a totally different. These are different worlds. These are different worlds. This is my abusive mother who I ran away from won't stop disrespecting my boundaries and meddling in my life with a guy who, you know, it could have worked out. Now I mean, Lorelai is so together that she's moved on from Christopher. It's like, okay, you know, she got the rug pulled out from under her again with the shocking pregnancy news for the Christopher's girlfriend. So Lorelai's moving on, and she in her same high spirits and using that humor that she developed to as a shield against her parents. Now she's using it in every aspect of her life, and it serves her. Mm-hmm. You know, it keeps her sane. It keeps her going. It keeps her buoyant.
Yep.
Good for her.
Yeah.
That's her personality. That's why we enjoy this show so much, is because we get to watch that glorious person be funny.
Yep, I
agree.
And because
I hate to say it, the shite is piling up so high, she's got to grow wings to stay above it. And she's got beautiful wings and she knows how to fly and she's flying.
Right.
But this woman keeps throwing stuff up at her and getting on her wings and bringing her down. Well, that's how I see it. And this, she's done it again.
We'll get to the end, but first, let's go back to your scene you wanted to talk about, which was the student council meeting, the first mm-hmm. one, where mm-hmm. it's supposed to be the get to know each other and Paris never lets anyone talk. And this was where Francie brings up the hemline issue.
And the girl that played Francie was just terrific.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She was terrific.
Yeah.
Just hit it out of the park. Made the episode for me.
Talking to Paris really is like shopping for a bathing suit in December. frustrating, useless, and a complete waste of time.
Who is that actress? She hit it out of the park.
Emily Bergel. Is that her last name? Bergel?
Oh, yeah. she was terrific. She was just terrific.
She does a lot of work. She works a lot.
Does she really? Good for her. Yeah. She should.
But that is the part where Paris bugs me. Like, I can deal with Paris, but mm-hmm. like the fact that Paris just talked in that meeting for an hour and doesn't let anyone talk is like, that's annoying.
You think? Yeah. And plus, okay, so here's the logic thing. Puffs, leader of the Puffs, president of the student council, has some real power. Now, season one, we saw, Rory accidentally sit down and ingratiate herself to the leader of the Puffs, mm-hmm. and she was kind of accepted. Like, this girl is so oblivious, we love her. She doesn't even know who we are. Love her. Let's let her in. Paris gets all noodly. Can you have any influence with them? All of a sudden, now she's, trying to bulldoze these people? How? All of a sudden, she doesn't want to be in the Puffs? Where's the consistency?
Well, maybe they're totally over because they got so busted. The Puffs. Remember, they got Paris and Rory got into the Puffs, and they were having their initiation. Yeah. Remember, they had the morning thing, and Paris looked like poop. And Rory looked perfect because Lorelai told her they were coming. And then they got so busted in the, in the headmaster's office that maybe they're just, the Puffs are no more.
Apparently the Puffs still exist and they still have influence and they still have power. They still have an organization. So suddenly Paris doesn't want to be involved with the Puffs because they have a police record right now, that they're not so desirable an organization to be a member of.
I agree with the inconsistency you're talking about because Paris was so all about them. So why would she then be such a hard ass to Francie over the inch long hemline? Like, it isn't consistent. I'll give you that.
It's not consistent at all.
Like, does Paris want to be popular or not?
I mean, just because they got busted once by the headmaster, they weren't suspended as an organization. They weren't disbanded. They're still together. They still wield power. There was no scene really explaining that the Puffs had lost their luster and their influence and they're no longer desirable. Otherwise, the scene would have made sense had they added a scene like that.
I agree with you that it doesn't make sense how important they were to Paris and how much she wanted to be friends with Francie. And then suddenly now she's just going to like slam Francie on everything. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's inconsistent.
Anyway, just an observation. But
so then we go back to the inn. Suki doesn't want to serve the vegetarians and we tee up that the lunch is today.
But wait, there's a life lesson. Rory teaches Paris a life lesson about being political. She's a real, Rory's a real operator. I mean, she's a real political operator. She really, like, you want to do these small favors just in case down the line you need something from them. We have to be political here. You just can't be a dictator.
Well, everyone at Chilton is manipulating everyone because Francie manipulated Rory. So Rory has to manipulate Paris. Rory doesn't even want this job. She's doing a college application.
Right. Going through the motions, basically. Yeah. Tolerating people. But I did like the scene. Listen, I don't dislike these scenes. I love these scenes. I think they're beautifully acted and they're funny. It's just if there's a logic question, it kind of.
You're not wrong.
It's the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So then we have the scene with Suki to kind of prepare us for the lunch. Then we go back to Chilton, if we're going in order, which we kind of touched on this, and we Rory gets pulled into the bathroom. And right. and Francie, you know.
Great scene. My yeah. favorite scene of the entire episode.
Really? In the bathroom?
Oh, that was so righteous, a scene. that show needed the hard edge. They needed a gang thing. That was like a, that was an homage to all the great high school gang scenes that you've ever seen. Like mm-hmm. it was just, it was beautiful. It was beautifully acted by that Emily Burgle. And it was just such a great situation.
It took me back into high school. Like, I was like, oh my God, high school's so gnarly. Like, I literally just like transported me back into high school.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever get bullied in high school?
I didn't, but like, that exists. You know, like, Francine and Rory, that scene happens in high school for sure. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I got bullied.
No.
Horribly. Yeah. Because I was so I was small and skinny, and as a freshman, I didn't start growing until God sophomore year.
Were you a high school baseball player? You weren't cool. Were you cool, or were you like dorky?
I wasn't cool. No, I was skinny, and I mean I was just rail thin and kind of smallish, but yeah. I was in this situation where I beat out like the all-star local shortstop football captain, quarterback, big man on campus guy. And all of a sudden I found myself playing, starting at shortstop for a powerhouse team. And I had a lot of enemies at that point. His friends used to drag me into the wrestling room every day and beat the snot out of me to try to get and force me to quit. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you quit baseball?
Nope.
Oh, did you ever go back for a high school reunion?
I mean, I did. I didn't go out my junior or senior year. I but that was for different reasons. It wasn't because of that. They had stopped.
You didn't play baseball then?
My junior, senior year. No, I didn't. No.
Have you ever gone back to a high school reunion since you've been like, famous?
No.
Have you bumped into anyone from high school since you like you were like that guy and then now you're
sure
Luke?
I look, my tight circle of guy friends is I grew up with.
But what about like somebody not your tight circle, so like mm-hmm. you're back home, I forget what your hometown was.
Haddonfield, New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay.
Haddonfield.
And have you ever like bumped into anyone at the 7-Eleven or whatever? And they're like, hey, Scott, we went to high school together. And then you became famous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's happened several times, actually. Yeah.
Whoa. Or like the girls in high school are like, oh my God, he's Luke now.
No, I haven't gotten not from. No. I don't know that town is too impressed with stuff like that. You know, that's a different kind of a place. You know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Were they more impressed that you became a professional baseball player?
I don't know that they were impressed by anything. Although they did give me a day. The mayor in 2019 gave me a day.
It's like August something. Scott Patterson Day?
Yes. They did do that. So that was really cool.
What day? Yeah. That's a good question.
I don't know. I'll have to look at the thing. I have it somewhere.
You don't remember your day?
It's like August. It's like
did
August.
Did you get a key to the city?
I don't know if it was a key, but it was something. It was a wonderful. I mean, everybody showed up. There was hundreds of people there. It was really fun.
Oh my God.
It's really fun.
Your day is Saturday, August 24th.
Saturday, August 24th. There it
Scott
is.
Scott Patterson Day.
In what town?
Haddonfield, New Jersey. Haddonfield. Yes, this is the, listen, Steven Spielberg went to high school here. Brian De Palma went to high school here.
Do they have a day?
Deborah Hill, who wrote Halloween, grew up there. Okay, this is a town. Joanna Cassidy's from this is a town that has contributed to Hollywood mightily.
It really has. Wow.
Yes, it has. This small town. Yes, we have quite the pedigree.
Well, let's go back to lunch at Luke's. Yep, okay, so yep. Now we're at Luke's. And you and Lauren, Luke and Lorelai, have the hilarious scene about Kirk asking Lorelai out, which I just thought was hysterical.
See, that's to me, that's Gilmore Girls. It has that light touch. Yeah. It's a little teasy. It's humorous. I did not care for getting a fork thrown at me. I thought that was a little much.
Violent. Yeah.
That was a little much. The banter was there. It's as good as it gets. And really enjoyed that scene. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. And vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
So then Emily comes in and, of course, wipes down her chair, which I thought was hilarious.
Right. But she puts it back in her purse. Why'd she put it back in her purse?
It was so progressive of her. I was like, yes, Emily, you wipe down that seat. Take off those germs.
I do that on airplanes. I do that on airplanes.
Everybody does. Then I also loved that even though Emily was there, that Luke still, you know, they still are having their banter. It's not like you put on a different persona because Emily's there and you give the line like, oh, I'm trying to look good for the big day. Okay, so then we find out, you know, Lorelai's like, why are we at lunch? Oh, just to have lunch. And then the bomb drops that she had called Christopher and you two belong together, she says. So discuss.
I just sad. Emily is just a sad character at this point. I mean, Lorelai had every right to walk out of that. I mean, this is the second episode in a row she's walked out on her mother. This time on her own turf.
Yeah.
So
that stood out to me too.
I mean, it's like, why do they even have a relationship? Why does Emily want to keep having these dinners? And it's like, at this point, it's like, just send Rory and you don't have to come. But then why would Rory want to come? You know, it's these people need to take a break from each other and just regroup.
The walking out bothers me. Does that bother anybody else?
No. How is she? But this woman just will not stop. She's like a Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator. She just will not stop until she rips everybody's hearts out.
For me,
yeah,
teenagery to walk out. I don't like it. It's like, talk it out and resolve it. Act like grownups. We don't walk.
Emily needs to get a life. You know, it's like, get a life. Go to the country club. Meddle in the affairs of your friends and, you know, have a couple of drinks at lunch and play a little golf, play a little tennis, and just what is the point? Emily feels like Emily keeps trying to fix the damage that she did. And I think she's driven by guilt. And that's what I think this is all about. She ruined her. She thinks she ruined her daughter. Guess what? She didn't ruin her daughter. Her daughter is made of stronger stuff than Emily gives her credit for. And she's turned into a spectacular person. She's raising a spectacular kid. And Emily, you just didn't ruin your daughter. You don't need to fix anything. So stop trying to fix everything. You didn't do anything. Why don't you fix yourself?
Point.
So it's like Emily needs to just sort of focus on herself, you know, and her own relationship and her own life. And it's like, stop sticking your nose in. And it's
you make a great point there.
Well, I try.
I love arguing with you, but I can't. You're right. Like Emily does. It's like, chill out, Emily.
Mm-hmm. But since she's made this, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year investment in her granddaughter, she's gonna put in her 2 cents and she's gonna meddle.
I think that she would be meddling if they had any relationship at all, whether she's paying for school or not. She would be meddling.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's her. Who she is.
Emily is just angry. She's just filled with rage at this point.
See, I'd see that part differently. I think she just wants so desperately for this all to work out, but the way she wants it to work out.
Right.
It's not like she's doing it because she wants Lorelai to thrive. It's like she wants everything to be how she wants
it. Exactly. She's not concerned with anybody's happiness but her own.
Yeah. Right. She wants Emily's happy ending, and that's her daughter marrying her, you know, granddaughter's dad and in the family and in, you know, like in high class society and everything's happy go lucky in Emily's world. But that's not Lorelai's reality.
It's crazy how much they still love Christopher, even though Christopher's parents were so vile.
She wants to be around all the people that drink out of a bottle like this with their pinky up. She doesn't want this.
But here's the thing, Emily doesn't know anything else, you know? So, like, you can't.
Emily believes she's doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
She does. She does. It's an unconscious. It's amazing that somebody that age is so unconscious.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah.
It's amazing. Somebody that's so intelligent and so experienced is just completely single-minded. And
quick
blind.
Interjection.
Yeah.
You know something I think that's very effective that they do on this show? Because Ed Herman is not in a lot of the episodes, but I think this is intentional. You tell me. They always acknowledge Richard. They always acknowledge, oh, he's at this business meeting or he's traveling again. We feel his presence, which is why I think in my mind, he's in almost every episode. It's very smart. Like, and you realize like, oh, he's like such a star. So they acknowledge him. So we always feel like he's there, even though he's not in.
Like the maid scene, I thought he was there. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that's next scene, but.
No, that's all right. So first we go back to so I don't want to gloss over these important scenes because that was major what happened in the diner. We then go back to the student council meeting and they're talking about the dance, which Paris kind of agreed. Okay. And then the senior class photos and someone has the famous relative that's the photographer. And then we get to the hemline issue. And this is where Rory
sort of Helmut Newton. Pretty famous photographer.
I'm not good with the photographer. And then we get to the hemline issue. And this is where we kind of, Rory does her magic.
Rory does her magic with Paris?
On Paris. Yeah, that's where she kind of manipulates Paris and says, like, look, you need to kind of do this.
That's Rory. Rory's political wise self kicking in and telling Paris what should be. It's like, listen, Paris, you're an idiot. You're dumb. You're a blunt instrument. Like, you need to be more nuanced. Stop screaming at everybody. You're boring. You're giving Scott a headache every single episode you're in. So will you shut up and get smart and start being political? Oh my God, I'm running out of Excedrin. That beautiful scene. Yay. You know, yep, it was pro, okay. it was anti-headache and it was pro feeling good. Yeah.
So now we're getting into so much meat in an episode in a short amount of time. So here we go. So first we're at the Gilmore house and they're getting ready to go to Friday night dinner and Kirk is on the answering machine, which was just like hilarious. And then we get to Friday night dinner. They're basically discussing how Emily can't keep a maid and then ding dong. Mm-hmm. And the shite, as you say, hits the fan. So in comes Christopher and it is emotional, a blow up. I was crying. It was
really?
A lot.
Really?
Oh my God. Yes.
I thought this was the lowest the Gilmore Girls has ever gone. I thought it was so soap opera. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe what I was seeing.
Oh my God.
It was melodrama. It was out of the blue. And I rolled my eyes. I could not believe how hokey that whole thing was.
What?
Yeah.
First of all, the fact that he just showed up, like you saying out of the blue, for me, it was like, oh my God, because he knew they would be there.
I groaned.
I thought it was dramatic and like, an amazing
I groaned. I was like, oh, this is painful to watch.
No.
Yeah.
First of all,
I was stunned.
I loved it. I loved it so much. I can't believe how opposite we are.
On this one, yeah.
Okay. Do you want to talk first? You go first. You explain why you hated it, and I will then explain why
I just did.
Okay.
I thought it was hokey, and I thought it was contrived, and I thought it was. I thought it was very forced. It didn't feel natural. It didn't feel.
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't know. I just think you have to set something up better than that.
Oh my God. I felt like we were building towards this.
No, I mean, I know what you mean. Yes, it was in a sense, but I just wanted there to be more craft.
Okay. So before I say why I loved it, did you love that Emily came on as the hero? So as they're fighting.
No, it didn't work. It just was all hokum to me. And then Emily's standing there, Christopher, I think it's time you leave.
Oh, I loved it.
It was the guiding light at that point for me.
Oh, my God. I literally.
I'm sorry. I fell out of it there.
Oh, my God. Okay, wait. Before I say, Danielle, Riley, did you guys like it? Where do you guys stand?
I did not.
I'll go.
I loved it. I loved that.
Riley
first.
Riley, you go first while you did not like it, and then the smart people will talk.
You know what? Scott and I are smart too.
Why did you not like it, Riley?
I kind of feel Scott. I just felt so just over the top,
right.
And I was like, Christopher, you need to chill. Like, this is not the way to go about it. This is not the way to do it.
Right.
And then I felt like, while it was very nice of Emily to come in, I was like, Emily, you kind of stirred this up a little bit too. Like, your call
you guys
and everything.
Forget that we're watching a TV show?
Right.
Like, we need the drama.
But it's not it's not a reality show. And B, it's supposed to be this really classy dramedy, right? That is seamless.
That's what it was. Christopher. Uh-huh.
That was not a scene that in any way, shape, or form fit in to that world that they had established.
What are you talking about?
I'm trying to tell you, they didn't set it up properly. Did you know that Christopher was trying to reach Lorelai 45 times? No. Did you know that he was trying to reach his daughter 45 times?
No. But I love finding out.
They turned the audience into observers instead of participants. And that is a flaw in the writing.
Okay. Well, I love being an observer. So I thought
Love being an observer. You have to participate in the drama. They didn't give you enough information.
But this is so
Christopher. It was all out of the blue. What?
See, I don't need to know everything all the time. I love that he just showed up. I was like,
I do. Otherwise, you're in a soap opera.
Okay, well then I love soap operas because I was like, who's at the door? Oh my God. And then it was Christopher. And he, first of all, couldn't have looked hotter.
I was like whoa.
It would have been better if he had worn a mustache.
No. He looked so hot. He is so hot.
Oh,
so
he's just got
the perfect leather jacket. And
that scene was ridiculous. Oh, it had no business. And it was ridiculous. And it had no business being in the show.
A flawless scene. First of all,
flawless.
We find out. First of all, he looks so hot. Then we find he's got a story from me. What is happening? Am I planet crazy?
Wait, guys. First of all, he looks so hot.
Did you guys? So hot. Have I said it like 12 times? He looks so hot.
Oh, God. I'm obsessed with him. Oh, my goodness.
Perfect hair, perfect eyes, perfect jacket.
It was the most inept scene I have ever seen of the 2+ years.
Oh, my God.
It was inept.
I don't know how to disagree more.
I know you don't.
I loved Lauren's performance. She was so real, so vulnerable. She's like, this hurts. This is killing me.
I'm sorry. You got to see it coming. They got to tease it before.
First of all, that's
before,
not even,
you know, El Greco shows up in a mustache.
That's not even in Lorelai's nature. She always.
No, you've got to tease that he's trying to get into. You got to give the audience the information that he's trying to reach her and that she's not getting back to him. That's a major story flaw.
No,
it's a major hole in the story.
We don't
telling.
Have to know everything. We
I'm sorry.
Know that he's
Look,
calling and calling
these
her.
People are brilliant. Amy and Dan are brilliant. The writing staff is brilliant, but they missed it on this one. Listen, I'm calling it out how I call them how I see them. Okay, I'm firm, but I'm fair. Right? When things are awesome, and they usually are, and I'll do it with anybody's acting. I'll do it with my own acting. I'll do it with writing. I don't care. You know, let the cast aspersions at me, slings and arrows, I'll take them. But that was not worthy of the Gilmore Girls. That was not worthy of the show.
Loved it so much. I loved it so much. I was crying. I was crying. And this is the crazy part for me. This wasn't the last scene in the episode.
That was the sappiest scene I've ever seen.
I loved it. And then Rory was like mad too. Oh. And she's like, no, you promised me, which he did. She was right.
Oh, God.
Honestly, Rory came in and was like, you messed up. Yeah. And like,
okay. So listen, I'm glad that you enjoyed it, but don't you think it could have been better?
Nope. 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10.
Had we had some knowledge that this guy was trying to get in touch with them and have these little scenes, but like, who was that mom? That was Christopher.
No.
And then they're like, oh, well, he's pissing me off or whatever. Well, why didn't you take the call? I don't want to. What, mom, you should call him back. Why don't you call him back, mom? Create some tension. Create the goddamn tension throughout the episode.
It just shows how hurt Lorelai is that she can't even talk about it.
I understand that part, but we didn't know about it.
It doesn't matter.
It does. In my opinion, it does.
I love that I did not know.
Good writing is that you help your audience to participate in whatever is going on.
I loved that.
And they turned me into an observer who just started throwing tomatoes at the screen at that point because they didn't take me along for that ride. And I thought it was absurd. I thought that scene was absurd.
Oh my God. I the best part.
And ineffective. And it could have had, and it didn't pay off because they didn't set it up.
Okay.
They didn't set it up the right way.
The best part for me of the scene was that I didn't know who was at the door. So for me, that was like, who's at the door?
But you should have known who was at the door. You should have suspected, oh God, that's Christopher, because that helps you to participate in it.
I love not knowing. And then I was like,
no, here's the thing.
WTF.
look, how far behind the story do you want to be as an audience? Do you want to be in another county? Do you want to be in another universe? And then all of a sudden they introduce this scene? Or do you want to be a little bit behind the story? Do you want to be a little bit ahead of the story?
But also, we knew Christopher was going to come at some point.
Right.
You know, like, I saw that coming. I saw him coming at some point. Was it at Emily's house that I thought he would come? No, but I loved that it was.
Yeah.
I thought it made him look weaker than Emily.
I disagree. He came in so
because he's
strong.
In on it, too. You know, they're talking. It's like, well,
he's
you
like,
grow
why
a pair
won't you
and,
call me
and
back?
Either. No, it's either stay away and deal with your pregnant girlfriend and marry her. Or claim Lorelai. Don't come in and say, why aren't you taking my phone calls? I mean, I've never seen that guy look more like a wimp and an indecisive wimp. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. I thought it was, I loved it. Because
it was total
fighting for them. Even
bullshit.
He's in this
no,
ridiculous.
It wasn't. It's total character destruction.
Oh, my God.
They made that guy look like a wimp and an indecisive wimp. Why isn't he with his girlfriend? I mean, with his pregnant girlfriend, who he's going to marry.
Because Rory's also his daughter.
Oh, for God's sake, handle your business.
But he's not going to abandon Rory.
Christopher, handle your business, for God's sake. He comes charging in, you know, on his motorcycle without a helmet and with no goggles. And he rides away without his helmet and no goggles at night. Do you know what it's like riding a motorcycle without eyewear? It's like the next time we see Christopher, he's going to be blind.
I did notice the no helmet thing. But I also love that Rory goes upstairs and Lorelai, even though she's so mad at Christopher and she's so hurt by him, she still is the mom and goes out to him and says, give it time.
So I didn't buy it. I didn't buy into it because it was just out of the blue. It was too absurd to even engage.
I don't even know how to function right now. I just don't. I don't even know. Like, do we have to take a break? Like, I need a breath. So pissed.
But he looked good. That's the important thing. He looked really good. God, so that's really all that matters.
He sure did. Right? Okay. And I love that he had the motorcycle and not the Volvo and everything about
look,
it.
If you're gonna,
if
you're going to be like a nothing spineless, wimpy character, it's important that you look good, right? That's the important thing. Oh,
and
for God's sake. What?
Amy,
talk to me,
what
Daniel.
About?
Let's just
what about,
pretend they're not here. Talk to me.
What about go be somebody else's dad?
It was so dramatic and amazing.
It was,
and
not. It was,
like,
it was hokey. It was hokum.
And look, here's my thing. You don't have to be perfect for me to love you. So Christopher can be flawed, but I still love him.
Perfect.
Anyway.
He's the farthest thing from perfect. He's a wuss. Are you kidding me? He's not fighting for his daughter.
I feel like I need to have a whole conversation with just Danielle.
I agree. I completely agree with you.
I am shocked. I thought literally Scott was going to be like, this was the one scene I loved.
No, I hated it more than anything I've ever seen
on this show. And I loved
Emily,
and I went
show.
Like, right on, Emily. Like,
I agree.
It's ultimately Emily, because now she understands. And so she had Lorelai's back. She's all,
yeah.
I was laughing throughout the whole scene.
Oh, my God.
But I was laughing at them.
Laughing. I was crying. Oh, I was like emotionally and I was stunned. I was like.
In the beginning of that scene, when we find out it's Christopher and Lorelai goes, mom or Emily, whatever she said.
Yeah.
And she was like, I did not do this. And she's like, yes, you did. I did not do this. Yeah. And I was like, oh, she didn't. Like, I was, at first I thought it was a total setup.
And what about
setup.
When Lorelai says, what do you want from me? I was like, oh my God, yes.
Riley, how you doing? Yeah.
Just,
how you doing?
It felt so toxic. He could have done it in such a different way.
Yes.
Their life is toxic. Of course it's going
to
be toxic.
I know, but if he wants to prove himself and like prove that like he is the person for her, he could have come at this like, he could have come in or like picked
okay,
a different
here,
time.
Let's play this. Let's play this really quick. How would you guys have liked Christopher to do it? Like what in your minds, what would have been better?
Lorelai by herself. Like
not
he
storming
had this
in.
Whole audience.
Right.
And, she won't
and
call
in front
him
of
back.
Rory,
she won't call him back. He
your
no
mommy
choice.
Said I should come here and I'm going to storm in
no,
looking
she,
really good. Your
that.
Mommy
didn't.
Said that. It
he
was
did that
didn't.
On his own because he knew
that's even worse,
there.
Actually,
so
that he did that on his
back.
Own. He knew she was going to be there. I mean, what a.
Why didn't he go sit on the porch of the house or
right.
like like, go somewhere where Rory's not there, where, right. you know, Rory will get emotional and, you know, hear the conversation. It could have just right. been done in more of a mature,
right.
non-toxic, triggering way.
Right. That's a Dean. That's a Dean move right there.
Oh my God. Dean that's would a, never do that.
That's Dean a Dean
so,
move.
No. Dean's so wimpy. He'd just be at home on the porch. Like, she likes
yeah.
that. Like, come on.
You just like saw how much
up here.
Yeah, I agree.
But he's totally stuck. That's Stop the thing, it. Because that's why Lorelai's like, are you going to marry Sherry? And he's like, yes. And it's just like, oh, my
and
heart. My
honestly,
heart.
This scene mirrored the next scene. You know what I mean?
Agree.
Just flipped. Right?
Danielle,
you've
I was
gotta,
just about.
You've got to prepare
Amy,
the audience
the
for
page.
This scene.
Same page.
As a writer... I need to see no. some scenes that tease this, that we this needs to be, there needs to be an no. inevitability about it.
Nope.
Sorry, yeah, it didn't work. Look, okay. it didn't work for me at all.
Then,
and I thought it was a ridiculous scene. I thought everybody looked like idiots in this
I loved
scene.
Everything about it, and I loved everyone in it. I loved Christopher, I loved Rory, I loved Lorelai, and I loved Emily.
Yep.
I felt sorry for Lauren that she had to be in the scene.
Oh my God.
I felt sorry for all of them that they had to be in the scene. This was not their fault.
But I felt like
this was not their fault.
The outcome
okay,
of
they,
that
they
scene.
Have acting jobs. I'm sure Lauren had some notes and Emily probably said, Jesus, we really have to film this hokey
no,
scene.
No, they didn't. They loved
Yeah,
they
I'm
loved
sure they
scene.
Did.
No way. No.
I am they sure they
thought,
did.
This is awesome.
They are very astute.
This is
the
awesome.
Two of them. They're very astute. And they know when something's going to, you know, land like a, you know what.
Like awesomeness.
Yeah, pure awesomeness. The outcome of that scene is everything. It's everything we needed. It's,
I agree.
It's Emily backing up Lorelai. It's yep. Lorelai standing up to this guy yep. and being like, you screwed up, not my problem.
Yep.
It's Rory being
and
like,
you broke
Dad,
my heart.
I'm
She's
sad.
Showing emotion.
It comes yeah. down to execution. It's how it was executed.
And then,
I agree with you
I mean,
on
perfectly.
All of that.
It was executed
they, but
perfectly.
They didn't
Perfect.
Let... It was not. It was not it was. Set up. That's just my opinion.
I cannot wait for the comments on the Instagram. I literally am like, can I start checking the Instagram right now? Like, oh my God. Then the best thing is the show wasn't over. Like I was like, oh, it
was for me.
We continued. Nope.
I went to the refrigerator after that.
So just after this drama,
chocolate.
It brings it back and they're walking
fudge
through
bar.
Town. And here comes Kirk,
Ice cream.
Which I thought, oh my God, no way. Like, guys, it was genius. So then here comes Kirk, where Lorelai has to say, I can't go out with you because I'm
right.
so hung up on this other thing.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. And vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit BARTESIAN.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
I thought that was one of the, that was a great line from Kirk. I just need to know how you feel about tuna fish.
No, when she says no, he's like, was it the tuna question?
But she let him down in a very classy way, I thought. Really protected his feelings. And you know what? She was also somewhat honest that she'd been through the ringer. You know, on the, you know, with the dating scene and needs to take a long breather.
This show is so genius because we have the most important or second most important, however you look at it, scene of the whole episode in Dosey's Market when Jess and Rory bump into each other. And Jess was like, girl, you don't get to be upset at me. You're breaking my heart. Like, you don't want to be with me. You didn't call me. You didn't write me. You're not breaking up with Dean. I have to see you two all around town. Of course I'm going to go kiss Shane. Like, Jess is right. Jess is right.
You can't tell me not to kiss Shane because you're the one that's not meeting me. Yeah.
What is he supposed to do? She's being so...
Act like a man and go...
That's what he's doing.
Go to Washington...
No.
Call her?
No.
Why didn't he call her?
Hang on.
Why didn't he call her?
Here's the thing. I was on your team, Scott. Last episode, I was there. And I totally converted after the last scene of this episode.
But why didn't, I was why, like, wait a minute. Oh, he can call her. How you doing? You know?
But she's still with Dean. It is wrong of him to try to be pursuing somebody that is in a relationship with somebody else.
That was cheap.
Preach, girl.
That was cheap.
I agree.
Yeah. Would he start to look like Dean though if he kept calling and kept
trying? No.
He
wouldn't.
Just
but
look
he
like
knew.
Dean.
Look, he knew that all he had to do was make one phone call. How you doing? How's Washington? Nope. Hey, I want to come visit.
Nope.
You can't do that.
What do you mean you can't do that? Who can't do that?
Because that's like being a jerk. He moved home. He did the grand gesture.
He's got morals.
Yeah.
Whereas before he didn't give a darn when she was in town.
So here's the thing.
So there's a selective morality.
Jess is a good dude. He's like might be troubled and he might be kind of a bad boy, but he's a good dude. And you know what? I don't want to ruin it, but gosh, do we sure learn that when we come back for the movies. Jess is a good dude and Jess is a stud. So come on. Like Rory, this is Rory. What is she expecting? It's like, so she gets to have her cake and eat it too. She gets to like have Jess loving her and he's not supposed to make out with Shane, but yet she's still dating Dean. Jess said it. Are you still with Dean?
And at the end of the day, if you know it's right, wild horses couldn't drag you away from what is right and what you feel should be.
But what do you say to
in
Rory?
An interpersonal relationship?
Okay.
So go. You don't need. It doesn't care how old a person is. If you want somebody, if you want it to work, you go make it work. You don't make excuses. He was like, you know, excuses are like, you know what? Everybody's got one. He had a million excuses in the market.
No.
The one thing he didn't do is he didn't act.
He
went to the wedding.
He had no excuses. He had facts. He had the facts.
But he's not going to get the girl.
The one fact that matters the most is, are you still with Dean? Yes.
No, the one fact that matters is I'm not with Rory. That's the one fact that matters.
Yeah, but you can't be with Rory if Rory is with somebody else.
Yes,
but
that,
bottom line, you cannot. Yes, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters if she's with Dean.
Dean was so weakened at this point. He's like, you know, the matador and
it
the bull.
Doesn't
he
matter.
He had so many swords in him at this point from the master matador of Jess. Jess was like sticking the damn bull, like, and the bull was dying. For God's sake!
I know we're
terrible analogy. I'm sorry if it upset people.
We're all talking at the same time, and we're all interrupting each other. So I'm preparing for those, but I'm so upset. I can't function right now.
Why? What's the matter?
We're gonna get so many letters. You talked all over each other. You're interrupting each other. I don't know what to do right now. I don't know what to do. I need my own show. Dean was like a piñata, you know, they were smacking him every episode.
I mean, what kind of a rival is that? I mean, it was nothing. Jess was clean mopping up the floor with him, and all of a sudden, you wouldn't call me. What am I supposed to do? You know, he didn't go get her.
He did
not.
What?
He came
back to Stars Hollow to get her, and she won't break up with Dean.
And she left again.
And she's got the letter she's trying to write him. This is on her.
She's thinking about Jess. She's obsessed with Jess. She needed to go to Washington, make a magic moment, and then she's yours.
But why aren't you holding Rory accountable at all?
Mm-hmm. Right. What is happening?
It's not on her to pursue him.
The whole thing is on her.
What are you talking about?
The entire thing is on her.
It is not on her.
What?
She's busy. She's in Washington. What are you talking about?
I am flabbergasted.
I literally, that's what I'm saying. Danielle, I need to like lay down. I need to take a breath. I don't even understand. Is this April Fool's? Is it April Fool's? What's happening? I just am shocked.
What's so hard? You get on a bus, you book a restaurant, you have some violins and some flowers, you book a hotel room, you make that magic, and it's a great evening, and it's how your relationship started in earnest.
Good old 16-year-old booking hotels with passion, with love,
with vulnerability. And then the next day, she's got a big smile on her face, and he's on the bus back to Stars Hollow and going with a big smile. And then there's no gross tongues at the counter. You know, I mean, what's the big deal? If you want somebody, you go after them. You guys have just completely shut down. I can't even believe
this. Yeah, because
I've given up. I disagree. We're in planet crazy right now.
Planet crazy?
This is so crazy because I know I'm right. I know it's not a question of being right.
Look, we just have our opinions.
Yeah.
I think Dean was transformed into a piñata. They're slamming them. There's no candy in there. Okay. You weaken that character. You killed that character. Now you build up this whole thing with these two. And it's like, let him get on with it.
Yeah.
Instead of all these hokey scenes in the Dosey's Diner, but you didn't call me, and you're in a relationship. All of a sudden it's a big impediment when before he didn't give a damn.
I think Jess is doing exactly what he should and is standing down until Rory finally crosses the line with
Well, guess what? He didn't get the girl, did he? He didn't get her.
Because it would be wrong. He's doing the right thing.
Hey, if having those two together is wrong, I don't want to be right.
I can agree with you on that.
As an audience, I want to see them together. I don't want to see him making excuses why, you know, you didn't call me, you're with him. And I don't want to see Rory with Dean, you know?
Yeah.
It's like she goes back to the piñata and she's happy. So.
Well, that was an episode.
Boy, oh boy. Boy, the fur was flying on that one.
That might have been our most heated episode to date.
Good God.
Oh, Amy's man. Quiet. Amy's just gone.
Like, I've given up. I just have said my piece. And
just given up.
She's just out.
Look at her. She's truly blown away.
The silence is deafening.
Oh, I'm just saying bye.
Why? Don't say goodbye like this. We had a disagreement.
Well, no. First of all, I love you guys. I love this episode. I stand by it, and I just can't wait for the comments because it's going to be great. It's a great episode.
It is not a great episode.
Oh my God. It was so good. 10
it's
out of 10.
It's not a great episode.
10 out of 10. No. Don't know why it's called Haunted Leg, but 10 out of 10.
Well, oh, Riley informed us that Laura, it's a line from Lorelai. Put that,
did you guys say that out loud and I was just too upset?
No, okay. I missed it too. She said, Lorelai says at one point, yeah, I'm not feeling so good. My leg is haunted. So there you go. Again, another bonehead title for a less than great episode. Haunted Leg. What the hell does that mean? This one was off for me. I'm sorry. Although I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed discussing it with you very astute ladies. And
I can't wait till next week. I don't even know what happened.
Was it because Christopher didn't have a leg to stand on?
Or a spine to hold him upright?
That was good.
Danielle, thank you. Don't laugh at them.
I gotta laugh at that one. I got you. That was good.
The seeds of discontent. Oh no.
That was good.
All right, guys. Everybody, look, thank you for hanging in there with us. We definitely need to towel down. We need to get Amy some.
I told you I have to go lay down.
She's gotta lie down somewhere. She's gotta take a couple laps in the pool.
Seriously, I'm like, oh my God, what is happening?
Thanks for downloading. Love y'all. And let us know how you feel. Okay.
Oh, they will.
Because we're so shy that we have a hard time expressing our opinions. But you just unleash. Go ahead. Anyway, all the best. Stay safe. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com. Grade 1 specialty coffee.
Summer, the best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.